comfortable. Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home will help you plan ahead and save your loved ones the financial and emotional burdens of making decisions during a difficult time. Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home is experienced and here to help plan services of all faiths, customs, religions, and traditions, including cremation. It only takes a few minutes to give your loved ones peace of mind for a long time to come. Call Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home today.
See Tim Howell and his professional staff at Bartlesville's finest funeral home.
And it's time for a community connection here on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3, again courtesy of Arnold Moore Niekamp Funeral Home. Joining us is the city of Bartlesville. They had a city council meeting last night. And again, joining me is Mayor Dale Copeland. Mayor, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing? It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. I know there's some rain chances, but for the most part, I think it's supposed to be sunny, right?
Yesterday, they stayed south of us. There's times when we need rain. That time is not right now.
That is true. That is true. It's not a time where we really need any more rain, but thankfully our area, as you kind of mentioned before we came on the air, the floodwaters have gone down. Yeah. It's gotten a lot better. What's kind of your assessment of the flood damage? I know you said there was kind of like a moderate need here in the area.
If it happened to you, it's a huge need, and
right.
We respect that, and the city is trying to work with everyone to go back. There's so much mess. That's a technical term, I guess, but it's just a huge mess that floodwaters cause, because it's not just water. It's everything in the water, the mud and the debris that comes along with it. So there's certain areas in the west end of Kenilworth, the south end, down around Creek. There's just little areas that we know about. In fact, if you go online to the city's mapping set up on the GIS on cityofbartlesville.org, it actually shows you those overlays. But for those folks, it's a really big deal. They're doing assessments now, working through the process that FEMA prescribes that we have to do to help them with flood insurance if they have that. So there's a lot of work going on for the people that were affected. Fortunately, not as many people were affected. Like I say, that's not a difference if it was you. But a lot of outbuildings, garages, that sort of thing had water. Not as many residences. But for those people, we're working with them. Micah Seamer's City Engineering Department is kind of the point on that and is going out and doing assessments, working with folks, getting them the information they need to move forward with their lives.
And if people haven't been able to get in contact with him or didn't know, how can they get a hold of him?
You call the city of Bartlesville, just call engineering. I'll admit I don't have that phone number in front of me, but when you call City Hall, they'll get you to the right place. You can go to cityofbartlesville.org. Also mentioned that not just the city, the Southern Baptist Men's Emergency Disaster Group here in Bartlesville is tremendous help working in that. I know several of the scout troops have worked with folks helping them move personal belongings. So the city as a whole has come together to rise to the occasion. And as bad as it is, it's really heartwarming to watch everyone pull together to help folks.
Where else in the city have you seen kind of people pulling together and helping people that have seen flood damage?
Oh, golly, it's not just in the city. It's out in the county. I look south of us, Tulsa, Muskogee, Weber's Falls. They're just begun. We have been, in a way, blessed compared to that. But I think it's a wonderful thing in our part of the country to watch folks respond to need and put down what they're doing. I know, for instance, one of our city councilmen, Jim Curd, has taken his equipment and has been working. He'll get after me for mentioning him, but that's okay. But it's just the sort of thing that you see as people drop what they're doing, they recognize a need exists, and they go to help.
And I know our neighbors to the east in Nowata County could probably use some help right now, too. I don't know. Do you know anything of any relief efforts over there?
I'm not familiar with that. I have to believe that there would be, because Oklahomans are Oklahomans regardless of what county they live in. Floodwaters in some areas have not receded completely, but it is getting better day by day.
And now kind of going to the city council meeting that you guys had last night. You guys have some commissions and committee openings so far?
We do. There's always a few. We have almost 30 committees, authorities, different groups, study groups, work groups. Each of those is staffed with volunteers from the city who give of their time and their talent to come together and study a particular issue. It might be the Community Center Trust Authority. It might be the museum, parks, streets and traffic, White Rose Cemetery. There's just a lot of areas in our community that these people, 200 and I'll get the number wrong, but 270, give or take, that help the city. And with that, they come forward and say, we looked at these street issues and we recommend this or that, or we believe that the cemetery, or we believe the community center, parks, there's always needs in the city, and it's those folks that help us. Right now we have an opening on the Bartlesville Area History Museum Trust Authority, but I always tell people there may not be an opening in something you're interested in now, but in a week or a month or 2 months. So if you go ahead, fill out an application, you can get those online at cityofbartlesville.org. You can go by City Hall, go up to the second floor, and ask for an application. Then when an opening pops up, as they do from time to time across all of these committees, we have that pool of applicants to select from and keep that as a full working group. It really helps our council when we come to a decision to have someone else that's looked at this and made recommendation.
And now I only see the one opening here on the form that you gave me for the Bartlesville Area History Museum Trust Authority. Is it just one position?
At this point, there is. It's funny how this waxes and wanes. It's only been a few months ago that I sat here explaining how we had two openings here and three there and four, and then there were seven or eight. And then you fill those, and it's just a cycle that we go through. At this moment, we have the one, but next month, there'll be another list.
What are your thoughts on, like, most of the boards, commissions, meetings, and clubs being filled up so much in recent weeks and months?
Well, again, like the flood response, I think it indicates citizens' willingness to be a part of that. A lot of times it's getting the word out. People say, I just didn't know. Didn't know that that was open, didn't know that I could participate. And I think that the more we share that information, the more we have. I'd love to have a waiting list for each of those as people were waiting to get on. A lot of these meet once a month. Some meet every 2 months. A few meet just once or twice a year. The Ambulance Commission comes to mind. But they're all important. And like anything, it's important if it affects you. So we'll have people that, for instance, the Sanitary Sewer Oversight Committee affects everyone. It's perhaps not as glamorous a title as some, but it's extremely important. And as we look to upgrading our sanitary sewer system, our wastewater system, it will become even more important. So we like to have people that develop an interest. I will tell you that you will learn more about the city of Bartlesville working on these committees because you see the nuts and bolts that go into that. And you have a part in it. It's a great thing.
Yep. And kind of looking more into the city council meeting that you had last night, you guys heard a report from the Bartlesville Development Authority. I know we've kind of covered the Phillips Precision Manufacturing that's coming to Bartlesville, and it's growing, correct?
It is. And actually, it was already in Bartlesville as a part of Siemens, but with the announcement a year or so ago by Siemens of structural changes that they were doing, Mark Phillips worked with other people in Bartlesville, particularly the BDA, and they came up with a plan that we're executing now where they're putting up a new facility out at the industrial park. And they started out, I'm doing this from memory, but I believe it was about 15 employees. David Wood, president at the BDA last night, said now they're up to 19. So that's something that's on a positive growth curve. Their new building is coming out. They're getting interest in their products as they look to expand. So that's a great thing. Custom molding on the west side of Bartlesville bought an existing building so that they could expand their operation. So that's another solid thing. SDC SMC, had purchased 40 acres at the Sunset Industrial Park just north of the mound that people may be familiar with off Sunset. They're continuing to move forward with their growth plans. So there's all of these things happening quietly. DSR moving to the old Walmart administration building that perhaps are not in the newspaper, but it's just a continual incremental growth. And I think it's what makes Bartlesville a better place, a stronger place, as we just grow gradually and slowly and continue to work on that. BDA is continuing to work with efforts to bring in more primary jobs. That's one of their central functions, because if we have a strong retail community, which they've worked on and done a great job, then the employees, it's a place people want to live. We have great parks. We have good schools. We have a strong community. We have a low cost of living. We joke about it. If it takes more than 10 minutes to get across town, there's a traffic jam somewhere. So it's just a wonderful place to live. As we've seen, we get all four seasons, sometimes all in the same week. But so we're going out and explaining these opportunities to other parts of the country to ask them to consider Bartlesville to relocate. And I think that we'll have good result.
And now you mentioned PPM and its growth too. And I know we've kind of covered this before. You said 19 jobs, correct?
That the last I heard that they were looking to go up to 19, and hopefully it just continues to grow.
And I think when we first reported on it, too, it was about 12. So, yes, it definitely is growing a little bit. Why do you think it is growing?
I think that this is something that, and I can't speak for them, but I get the feeling it's a new adventure, if you will. I think all business, when you start a business, is a new adventure, and you don't know what you don't know. And as they've gotten into this and they've looked at the market and what their skills are, they get new equipment, they enhance their opportunities, they look at their people, and your greatest resource is your people. And you look at the skill sets that you have, and they're finding a demand for their product. And as that happens, you add more people, you add more equipment, and you get that growth that makes a business stronger every year.
And when is the facility that you mentioned supposed to be finished for PPM?
The original goal was by fall. I don't know. I know there's a real drive to get that up and going before the end of the year.
Okay, and
it's gonna be, it's an optimistic, aggressive thing, but they're working really hard to make that happen.
Right, it's kind of like the Tower Center at Unity Square project. We want to at least try to get it done by October if possible.
Yeah, the Tower Center is such an amazing, broad vision, and I think so many people had a vision for that. And as they all came together, and then we get down to the nuts and bolts of where do we pour the concrete and where do the pipes go, they've had to stop and fine-tune that again, and it slowed it down just a bit. But better to do it a few weeks slower and have it exactly right than to have to come back and revisit it. One of my pet peeves is to have a new street put down and 3 weeks later a utility company comes by and cuts a trench across it. It's like, guys, 3 weeks ago there was no new street here. Let's work together. So I think they're doing a really great job in that, and when it's all done, people will forget, I hope, I'm sorry, the delay. What they will remember is the tremendous facility they have to enjoy.
Yeah, I know I'm extremely excited for it, and I can understand, too, the rains probably didn't help at all with those deep trenches where the pipes were. And
it's interesting because before all of this really came to the front, several years ago, it had been planned and approved and had begun engineering and design for that drainage system that runs right square through the middle of that. And we knew that needed to be done. These rains only accentuated that understanding that we need to get rid of that rainwater. Downtown, you have so much hard surface, streets and parking, that the water has nowhere to go. It just has to run off. In the past, it would get into the buildings. I know the Price Tower at one time or another, probably more than one, had water. So this drainage project was critical, and it needs to come before the Tower Center. So they're coordinating all of that to make it work.
And then after that, you said the road will be back in place, and then you kind of began demolition of some of the standing stuff that's in the area?
I have not seen the detail plans, okay. But yeah, you're going to have to clean that area of anything that's there. They're moving some lines and replacing things right now below grade, and then they'll be able to do the stuff we can see, which is the exciting part.
Right. And also in the city council meeting that you guys had last night, you kind of went over the budget. What was that kind of like for you guys?
The budget, I brought that with me this morning in case you want to study that. It runs to about, I don't know, 300 or 400 pages. You can really drill down into perhaps how many bags of trash bags they're going to need or gloves or whatever. But it's a very important. It's not always exciting, but it allows the exciting things to happen. Each department looks at their budget, decides what is ahead, and puts in a request for what they would like to have next year. That is reviewed, and quite obviously, very importantly, is compared to revenue, and then they adjust everything to match. Because we're required, and it's only good practice, to have a balanced budget. We don't want expenses to exceed revenue. And so they've budgeted very conservatively for revenues, basically flat, on all the different revenue sources, including sales tax. And then they take the budget, make the necessary adjustments to that. And as late as yesterday, we were still making adjustments to make that the very best budget we could. That was approved last night. It does anticipate flat revenue. If revenue exceeds that, then that's great. We'll have more than we had planned on to work with. It does provide all our employees with a 1% cost of living and a 2.5% merit. It adds 2 police officers to work particularly, I think the term they're going to use is neighborhood safety, to focus on those areas. And also one, we call it FTEs, full-time equivalent job, that'll be halftime codes enforcement and halftime collections to work with, do all businesses have a business license? Is it up to date? Are all vending machines that require permits? It's one of those things that's just minutia that you have to just work through and go out and make sure all that's done correctly. So we added all of that. Probably the last piece of the puzzle that was added yesterday was to accelerate and bring forward the purchase of body-worn cameras for all of our law enforcement officers. That had already been planned on a timed schedule. Recent events made very evident how important and valuable those would be. And so those were accelerated last night. I believe it's $155,000 that we brought up into this budget to make possible to do that sooner rather than later.
How important is it to have these body-worn cameras, and what other needs are you seeing from the Bartlesville Police Department?
Well, all of the departments have needs for tools, and this is a tool. The police department in particular, I know over the past several years that we've looked at body armor is one of those things. Dash cams is another. Laptops that allows a lot better information to be communicated to an officer in the field. Their car is, they call it a unit, but their unit is their office. It's where they live. And so to have the information at their fingertips, not on radio traffic perhaps, but to be able to have your laptop pull up pictures and data is a tremendous tool that we've done. That required a Wi-Fi network to support it. And so the cameras, they have no opinions. They simply record what they see. And as any attorney will tell you, sometimes if you have three people standing on a street corner witnessing an incident, they will all see it from different angles and have different reports. The camera doesn't have a forgetful memory. It doesn't color things or get confused, and it just sees what it sees. So I think it's something that'll be a great tool for both the citizens and the officers themselves as we go forward. It's been used in other communities with success.
And I do have one other question. You're adding the two police officers and the one code enforcement officer. If I think I remember right, there was, six police officers that would be on patrol every, shift?
It varies a bit, but that's not a bad average that there would generally be six. Now, there's administrative personnel, and there's investigations, and there's other people, but in the patrol division, I think that's probably a pretty good number. We'd like to supplement that. We look at, it's really hard to understand for me, the chicken and the egg concept. If we have increased property crime, why is that? If we have an increase in drug-related issues, why is that? If we have a safety with people not driving safely or with defective equipment, whatever that puts them and others at risk, are those all related? I suspect they probably are. So having more officers out on the street to support the community, I think will be a good thing and hopefully help bring all of that down into a better place. We'd like to have zero, but certainly to continue to enforce and patrol and increase our safety, make it a better place to live.
And speaking of good things for the community, while we only have a few minutes left, I know that you wanted to talk about the recycling survey. I think it launched, at the beginning of May?
A couple of weeks ago, it came out. This is something that has been anticipated for a long time. There's been a lot of work. We wanted to do this one time, get it right, gather information. We're interested in learning what people think about not only recycling. One of the things that I have worked with, and I think we'll eventually get there, we have a situation for a lot of folks that you have, a water heater or an old sofa. And what do you do with that thing? The trash trucks that we have aren't really equipped to deal with that. So there is equipment that we could add. It's a big truck with what they call a grappling hook, kind of like a giant video game in reality, that you could request. There would be fees, and that's what we're trying to find what people desire and that they're willing to pay for. But that truck could come by for a fee and pick up that water heater and take it away. Now, certainly you could take it to the dump yourself, but then the dump will charge you. So you have to have a truck or have a friend with a truck. You have to wrestle that thing up in there. So is this something that citizens would find attractive? I always temper that with helping people hopefully understand the recycling market, the sale. Who do you collected it. What do you do with it? The market for that has undergone a terrific, huge decline. Reports are that China has declined what they're purchasing. And so it's creating a real problem. I saw an article this week already that some countries just dump their stuff into the ocean. And, of course, that creates a problem. So we don't want to just collect it to say we were collecting it. We need a plan to deal with it. People say, why don't you do glass? Nobody buys glass that we're aware of. So we're already spending money. We're not making money on recycling. And the question is, what are folks desirous of, and what are they willing to pay for, and do they understand that one of the biggest problems we have in recycling is what's called contamination. If you put a pizza box that still has cheese on it, that's not the people recycling cardboard find that contaminated. They either won't take it or they pay a whole lot less. And if it contaminates an entire container, then that whole container becomes worth a lot less. So the quality of the recycling product, I think, is an education. We're going to have to get folks to understand, if you want recycling, and I support recycling, you know, if we can reuse everything, that would be wonderful.
And how many people have taken the survey so far?
Over 1,000, and that's a lot, and it's great, and we really appreciate it. I'd like to see 2,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. We have 35,000 of us that live in our community, roughly. Everybody has a chance to have a voice in this and decide where we as a community want to go.
All right, and that was a community connection with Mayor Dale Copeland. We'll continue to work with the city as we move forward throughout the weeks. And Mayor Copeland, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. Have a great day.
You too.
He will also visit the Community Food Bank of Eastern Oklahoma, meeting with volunteers.